Let us pray to the Lord. May the words of my mouth and the meditation in our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the coming King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Isaiah chapter 35 is a special kind of the word of the Lord that is called eschatological. That is, it is about the later or end time things. But we have to remember that we are also currently living in the end times. 1 Peter 4, 7 says that the end of all things is at hand. So it's also about our time too. Thus, to summarize, Isaiah 35 is talking about what is now and what is yet to come, both at the same time. In both of these views of what is now and what is yet to come, these words are absolutely and positively true. As Jesus comes to you right now through his word, and as Jesus will come again in glory, it will be like the wilderness and the dry land becoming glad, and the desert rejoicing as it blossoms like the crocus. The crocus is a desert flower which grows almost instantaneously after any substantial rainfall in the desert, so that in the final analysis, we can see with our own eyes a stunning contrast that I tried to find in a picture. Take a look on top of page 8 in our worship bulletin. In this picture, you see a desolate background. It almost causes us to think, what could possibly grow out of that? It practically looks like the flower is growing out of the rocks. You might just as well expect water to come out of those rocks. Exactly. And yet this is not a theoretical idea. It is an actual state of affairs. It actually happens. But picture this. If you were to remove the flower from the picture, what you would see is a desolate scene of dry rocks. You would think to yourself, there's nothing there, unless you're really into rocks. But even if you were, you'd have to admit that we are not looking at the most fertile ground on the planet. Prospects for growth and renewal would seem dismal indeed. But this is a fact, Christian. It really happens. The crocus is a symbol of God's miraculous work. This sort of thing, by the way, happens also on a much grander scale. When Mount St. Helens erupted in Washington in 1980, scientists predicted that the land surrounding the mountain would remain desolate for many, many years. The life that sprang from the volcanic destruction was both very fast and amazingly stunning. The analogy is important to us. Getting back to the Isaiah 35 now and not yet double context, God assures us that on the last day, the earth itself will be renewed. Romans 8:21 says the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. Revelation 21:1 simply refers to this as the new heaven and the new earth. The day is coming when our bodies, which atrophy through entropy, will be renewed, and we shall experience the exciting fruition of what John wrote about. It does not appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appears, we shall be like him. Kiss all your disease goodbye. You will be raised in the glory and the power, dear Christian, of our Lord Jesus, being just like him when he rose, leaving behind the desolate desert of death, covering it through his victory with the most lush and beautiful garden of life imaginable. Revelation is rich in describing this new garden. We should all like gardens. They are reminders of heaven. They are reminders of what God causes to sprout even from desolate rocks. But what about the now part? This is the hard part. But through faith in Christ, the crocus sprouts in the desert even now. We just need to understand what to expect along the way. God is real with us. His word describes what we can and do experience. For example, consider the words of the psalmist. For day and night your hand was heavy upon me, my strength was dried up. To feel dry is to feel hopeless. And to feel hopeless in the face of so many hardships is to feel fear. And fear, my brothers and sisters in Christ, is antithetical to faith. This is what the Christian can feel. This seems wrong. By definition, Christians are people of faith. That's true. But it's also true that we are sinners. And sinners feel the other side. The dry side. The desert that is within our souls. I heard from a baptized believer, overcome with frustration, about the desert in their life. Words of unbelief, spewing from lips that once confessed Jesus. It was predictable what would come next. God was to blame. It was all God's fault, including their horrendous decisions and rebellion against God. This is the insanity of sin. But that's what happens in the desert sometimes. We start seeing things that aren't really there. Every moment of our lives is the experience of the undulation between faith and fear, hope and dryness, the crocus and the desert with its dry rocks. No, you're not going crazy, but you are living the normal Christian life. That's important to know, lest the evil one tempt you to think that you're going mad. No, you're a true Christian. You feel the battle. But when you do feel the battle, you must know something about that battle so that you can take it to the Lord. That same psalmist who confessed the dryness of his soul went on to write, by God's inspiration, I acknowledged my sin to you, and I did not cover up my iniquity. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave the iniquity of my sin. And when you come confessing in God's house, you find that you've been led to the fresh, cool pool known as the Church of Christ, even in the midst of the burning sand, which is the world. And the Lord gives to you his living water, and he absolves you of all your sins. But don't forget that during the now, the battle rages. And without this wisdom, you cannot properly prepare for Christmas, nor wait in patience for the not yet renewal of all things. Luther saw in Isaiah 35, God's provision for the believer with the weak hands and the feeble knees. In the next verse, God sends forth his powerful word through Isaiah, who commanded, be strong, do not fear. It is God who sustains us through the desert and through all of our battles. Even now, the crocus of faith grows once again within you. Luther wrote, therefore, the inward joy of the spirit fights with the grief of the body exposed to the cross. And the inward joy is protected when we become wise to the ways of the enemy. Luther also wrote in regards to this text in Isaiah 35, for Satan has two ways of fighting. He would gladly cast the faithful down suddenly from their joy and their faith into fear and despair. Secondly, he cunningly strives by long-lasting torments and by the unremitting pressure of the torments to tire the Christians out. But God's counter to this is a life-giving gift of his water in the desert, his word in your life. God's counter to the evil one's attacks upon you is to cause perpetually the growth of the crocus in the desert of this life. God's counter is to keep His word raining upon you, keeping you in your baptismal pool of grace and life, feeding you with His body and His blood, and replacing hopelessness with the sure and certain hope that is yours in Christ. It would be difficult to find a better example of the power of this crocus faith than the time when our Savior referred to these words from Isaiah as being fulfilled in His now ministry. John the Baptist sent his disciples to ask Jesus, "Are you the one who is to come, or shall we look for another?" Jesus answered, "Go and tell John what you see and hear. The blind receive their sight, the lame walk, lepers are cleansed, and the deaf hear, and the dead are raised up, and the poor have good news preached to them." It must have been an amazing sight when John the Baptist received this message from Jesus. And I'm not exaggerating, because I've witnessed a Christian die while expressing joy in the Lord, even while they took their last breaths. There he was in prison, about to be beheaded, experiencing his cross, knowing his battle in the dry desert. But in receiving the word of Christ, John must have been joyful, with the crocus in full bloom in his heart. No desert, no prison robbed John the Baptist of his joy. And this is your joy, dear Christian. Your coming King comes once again, right now. And through His word, He opens your eyes once blind, your ears once deaf. He restores your legs once lame, and your tongue once dumb. A saving crocus grows in you that is Christ in the desert, the rock from which the water comes, the source of faith. And now you see that He is here, even in the desert. No, you are not abandoned. You hear His word, and it causes you to rejoice. Yes, you are truly forgiven. You leap with legs of faith, for nothing can contain the joy of the sinner who is no longer condemned. And your mouth is opened. You, once silenced and parched by the desert, confess that Jesus has covered your sin with His blood and has conquered your death with His victorious life. May you continue to blossom, Christian, in Christ as He comes now and as He is coming again. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus until He comes again in glory. Amen. We stand.